Our Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after the Epiphany is from 2 Kings chapter 5. Naaman, the commander of the king of Aram's army, was a great man in the opinion of his Lord. He was honored because the Lord had provided victory for Aram through him. Although he was a powerful warrior, he had leprosy. Raiding parties went out from Aram, and they brought back a young girl. She served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master stood before the prophet who is in Samaria, because he would cure him of his leprosy." So he went out and told his Lord. The servant girl came from the land of Israel, said this and this. Then the king of Aram said, "Go, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman went and took 10 talents of silver, 6,000 gold pieces, and 10 sets of clothing. Then he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which said, "Look, with this letter, I am sending you Naaman, my servant, so that you can cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God that I can kill and make alive? Why is he sending a man to me to heal from his leprosy? Look how he is looking for pretext to fight against me." But when Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent a message to the king. "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elijah's house. But Elijah sent a messenger to him to say, "Go and wash 7 times in the Jordan. Then your flesh will be restored and you will be clean." But Naaman was angry and he left, saying, "Look, I said to myself, he will surely come out and stand out and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place, and I would be cured of leprosy. Aren't the Albana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" And he turned and went away furious. But his servants approached and spoke to him. They said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do great things, would you not do it? How much more than he has to say to you, 'Wash and be clean.'" So he went down and dipped in the Jordan 7 times, just as the man of God had said. Then his flesh was restored like the flesh of a small child, and he was clean. Then he and his whole escort went back to the man of God. He stood in front of Elijah and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the earth except here in Israel." The gospel is from Matthew chapter 8. When Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. And then a leper came to him and bowed down to him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. "I am willing," he said, "be clean." Immediately he was healed of his leprosy. Jesus said to him, "See that you tell no one. Instead, go and show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded as a testimony to them." When he entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him and pleaded with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed and suffering terribly." Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered, "Lord, I am not worthy for you to come under my roof, but only say the word and my servant will be healed. For I am also a man under the authority, with soldiers under me. I say this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard this, he marveled. He said to those who were following him, "Amen, I tell you, I have not found such great faith in anyone in Israel. Tell you that many will come from the east and the west and will recline at the table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be thrown out into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to the centurion, "Go, let it be done for you as for you have believed." And his servant was healed at the very hour.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Something we can learn about with our readings today is faith. In the Old Testament reading, we hear about a foreign general named Naaman. He did not believe at first. Eventually, he came around to trying out the word of the prophet Elijah. He was healed of his disease. In the gospel readings, we hear about the faith of the leper and then the centurion. Both believed in Jesus. Both received healing. The leper for himself, the centurion for his servant. Today, we will learn more about faith. First of all, faith is not something that is limited to Christians or even to religious people, but all people employ faith every day as they go about their business. Let's use a car as an example. When we get into our cars and turn the key, we have faith that the ignition will engage and the engine will start. If we didn't believe that, then we would not even turn the key. When we back the car out into the street, we believe that the car will work properly. The brakes will stop us. The wheel will turn us. If we do not have faith in these things, we would not dare to go out on the streets. Not all cars are worthy of our faith. Perhaps if the car is old, then we will not take it out on long trips. We stay close to home just in case the car turns out to be trouble. A car that has our faith is something that we use and rely upon in order to get us around so that we can live our lives. A car that does not have faith, our faith is something we do not rely upon. We are aware of the possibility of being disappointed if we trust in it. So it goes. We have hopes and expectations in all sorts of things that make up our daily life. We trust in cars, in people, in institutions, and also in God. Faith in God is something that is just as specific as the faith in our car. We believe that a trustworthy car will bring us good by operating properly. It is the same with our faith in God. Faith in God means that we believe he will do what he says to us. Believers believe that God will do good to them. This is the faith that you see in the different stories that we have in our readings for today. Naaman, the leper who Jesus met and cured, and the centurion whose servant was healed. All of them believed God would do good to them. Just as we trust in the various parts of our car working, so also these men believed that turning to God would help them in their troubles. We see all three cases that their faith was proved true. They all got what they hoped for, the goodness of God. But also in all three of these examples, their faith in the goodness of God was tested in various ways. Their faith is remarkable because it prevailed against this testing as they held on to the promise of the goodness of God. In the Old Testament lesson, there is an example of Naaman. He was a Syrian who heard that the God of the Israelites was good. A captured Israelite girl told him. She said that the God of Israel was with the prophet Elisha. If Naaman would go to him, then he could be cured of his disease of leprosy. It was by faith that Naaman sent a letter to the king of Israel, telling him that he was going to come. It was by faith that Naaman went to the prophet Elisha. But his hopes and expectations were put to the test by the unexpected way Elisha acted. Naaman was expecting Elisha to come out and wave his hand over him and examine him and then figure out what to do. Elisha did no such thing. He didn't come out to see him. He sent a message through a servant. This was very offensive to Naaman. It appeared that Elisha didn't care about him, and Naaman was an important man. Furthermore, the instructions that were given were obvious, or offensive. Excuse me. He was supposed to go wash in the Jordan. The Jordan isn't that impressive compared to the mountain streams that Naaman knew from his homeland. It would be a bit like you being told to wash in some drainage ditch. If there were any waters that could cure them, then surely it would have to be a mountain spring that is known for its purity, wouldn't it? At this point, Naaman loses his faith in God and in God's prophet Elijah. His reason told him that the word God spoke through Elisha was ridiculous. He could do better on his own. Thankfully, Naaman had some good friends. The best friends that anybody could have are the ones that help us believe God's word. These friends were his servants. They gently argued with Naaman until he finally overcame his unbelief. Reluctantly, he washed in the Jordan and was cured. He even got more than he bargained for. His skin was not just healed of the disease, but was made like the skin of a young person, no wrinkles or liver spots. His faith in the goodness of God was confirmed by his healing. He makes a good confession when he says, "Surely there is no God except the God of Israel." Something similar can happen today in Christ's church. Jesus has given us a similar washing as the washing in the Jordan River. This washing is the washing of baptism. The promises attached to baptism are so glorious that they are hard to believe. Baptism forgives us all our sins, rescues from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. But reason looks at baptism and finds it lacking in its impressiveness. How can water do this? Shouldn't salvation come from great striving after purity and righteousness? How can it be that this water and this word can bring about salvation? And so there are many today who are just like Naaman. They reject this word of God because it doesn't suit their fancy. They feel that it is not how people should become clean and holy before God. But it doesn't matter what people think. What matters is what God promises. Therefore, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. In our gospel lesson, we hear about two individuals who have faith in God. They both believe in Jesus. These two are remarkable examples of faith. They believe against the odds. They hold fast to the goodness of God despite expectations. The leper who comes to Jesus is bold. Lepers were condemned by the law of Moses to live outside of the society as those who were unclean. Uncleanliness meant that they were unable to participate in the temple. They had to stay a great distance lest their uncleanliness should affect other people. It's kind of like how pastors does not want to infect all of you with his influenza today. But this leper believed that Jesus was powerful. He believed that Jesus was not just an ordinary man. who would catch his uncleanliness and not be able to do anything about it. Jesus would help him. This is why he came and asked. He received what he believed. The leper was cleansed. This leper is remarkable in his faith in a different way than Naaman. It was not just his reason that opposed his faith, but the law, very law of God that opposed him. The law of God condemned him. He didn't belong among the good, holy people of Israel. Nevertheless, even though the law condemned him, he believed in the goodness of God and the mercy of Jesus Christ. In this way, he was a very good example of faith for us all as well. According to God's own law, you have no right to come before God to be blessed by him. You deserve punishment according to the law. Faith, however, looks to the fulfillment of the law that is promised in Jesus Christ. He has come not to condemn sinners, but to forgive them and reconcile them to God with his own righteousness. Finally, there is the example of the centurion. The centurion was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. He worked for the Roman government. He was the commander of several hundred soldiers. Jesus says that his faith is greater than the faith of any Jew. So what made his faith great? We see what we see in the other two examples. He did not allow reason, nor the law, to stop him in his quest for the goodness of God. Naaman wanted Elijah to come out in person and deal with him. The centurion says that there is no need for Jesus to deal with his servant personally. No examination or waving of his hands was necessary. If Jesus would just say the word, then the servant would be healed. By nature, all people like to believe in show and ceremony. The more marvelous the show is, the better that it seems stuff should work. The centurion is satisfied with a simple word, contrary to what our reason thinks should work. That's the one part of his great faith. The other part of his great faith is similar to the leper's faith. He does not let the law stop him from his quest for grace. The centurion was an uncircumcised Gentile. He didn't belong with the people of God. The law of Moses says he didn't belong. But his faith was not in the law. His faith was in Jesus. Nobody is saved through faith in the law. For the law only condemns us. Jesus is the Savior. Through faith in him, we receive salvation. In the Old Testament lesson and the Gospel lesson, we have three examples of faith. Faith is important. All people use faith. Faith is very practical. What Jesus has sent out Christians to say is that we should believe in him. The gospel or good news is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who takes away the sin of the world. Believe in this promise and it's yours. With the word of the gospel, and in the gospel-laden sacraments, Jesus does to us today what he did long ago to that leper and the centurion. We are forgiven, rescued from death and the devil, and given eternal salvation. The faith that we have in his promise will not put to shame. Jesus tells the centurion, "Let it be done to you as you believe." Since the centurion expected good things and not bad things from Jesus, that is exactly what he received. All those who trust in Jesus Christ will not be disappointed. Their faith will be proven right. Believe in Jesus, his promises come true. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.